listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres.
Happy Tuesday. Hope all is well. It's a beautiful day. Somewhat cloudy skies out. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Good week, you know, ahead. Some bad news hit home this past week for me, guys. My mother-in-law passed away. And, you know, it's a very sad thing because she was such a wonderful woman that was so full of life and had plans to keep moving. She was 85 years old and never met a diva like her in my life, to be honest. But got through that situation and I am back at home. And through my travel, I met a gentleman that was telling me about a situation that he had where he had to get involved with his ex. Her toxic situation almost landed him in a bad situation as well. He could have actually been murdered, you know, especially with the gun violence going on today. So, you know, guys, we go through this week after week after week. Thank goodness this guy made it through. He survived, you know. He could have been gunned down trying to save his son's life. You know, his son actually calls by to come over to the house to sell him some, you know, cannabis. And the mother's boyfriend actually thinks that the son is trying to set his mother up on a date with a stranger. You know, he doesn't know the guy. And immediately they exchange words and they begin to have a shootout on the front lawn of the house. Thank goodness no one got hurt or much less killed, you know, during that incident. But, you know, those type of toxic situations that can arise from even out for, you know, kids nowadays, I have calls coming in. Kids nowadays, they want you to, you know, partake in some of the things that they're doing. And unfortunately, this mother, you know, she partook in a little bit of too much of his extracurricular activities that could have cost her life, because sometimes people don't choose to leave witnesses around when things happen. So, you know, got to be more careful out there today. But this guy's a dad that actually was called, and the mother says, listen, I need you to get here now. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to lose my whole career behind, you know, this cannabis run? You know, I mean, what is the guy supposed to do? He's a hardworking guy, couldn't be involved in toxic situations. You know, not saying she's a bad person, but come on, guys. You got your mother saying, son, order some cannabis. We're going to smoke together, or however that went down. But the whole fact of the comfortability of having someone drop off cannabis is a little alarming. So, you know, some mothers today don't think about the things that could actually happen from a drug deal gone wrong. So this was more like a drug deal gone wrong. And the dad can give you a better outlook on what happened, more so than I can, because he's the one that got the phone call. You know, thank goodness it wasn't a tragical situation for him to endure. You know, remember the young lady that was on in regards to the magazine company guy, Black Hair, I believe that was the name of it. Guys, she has a friend that, you know, she was hanging out with during this time of torture with this Newark police officer. And this young lady wants to come on the show because she wants to tell you that she was one of the girls that was being held captive and couldn't leave. And she wants to tell you how she broke free from this Newark police officer. that was working as security for this Black Hair magazine. You know, the guy's one foot in the coffin, one foot out. I don't know if he'll ever, you know, stand trial for what he's done to these young girls. Very, very sad thing. You know, it kind of made me reflect on the lady that allegedly was assaulted by Bill Cosby when she said, okay, he drugged me. And all I remember, my head hitting every step as he pulled me down the stairs. So, you know, these girls are claiming that they were drugged, they were beaten, they were sexually tortured by this Newark cop. It's kind of alarming to know some of the things that went on there, you know? And she also is calling out another sex den in Newark, New Jersey, you know, ran by police officers, owned by police officers. And she says she was also a sex slave there. And she said this place was a place that the mayor at that time knew about. And he, you know, he participated in some of the things that went on there. And she said that this was a place that Newark police officers were security. And they secured the girls and they secured the guys outside. And she, you know, she gave some very detailed information that seems very accurate to me. But, you know, we'd have to get on the show to make sure that, you know, her story sounds exactly like what I'm saying, because I'm only telling you guys what she told me. And I prefer her to come on so she can tell you more about, you know, what she went through. And it's just alarming that it would be allowed for police officers to do security. And as a matter of fact, she shared with me that one of the officers that used to do security there was charged with a crime of some type of sexual torture with one of the girls. And he actually was fired from the Newark Police Department, and he actually is still in prison, which she gave me supporting documentation that supports her claim. Now, you know, how are people able to get away with this? I can't even tell you how. It's just amazing that they would let, I take that back, because they're not letting them do anything. These people have their own minds. They know what they're not supposed to do. They were sworn in at one time. They know how to conduct themselves as police officers. They are breaking all the rules, and there's no one to actually discipline them, you know, because it, Newark is a place where, you know, it's called Code Blue, okay? And they stick together. And it's not unusual in any agency, because even in my agency, we stick together. But that agency is a little bit different. You know, we don't intentionally go out to hurt people or torture people or, you know, do anything to anybody that could potentially cause some harm. You know, it's just a little baffling that they would risk their freedom to commit these acts, intimate sexual acts with these girls. Some girls very underage, you know, and other women who are not legal in the country, that they're human trafficking, according to this young lady, you know, and I would rather you hear it from her mouth and not mine, because she can give you details of things and events that happened to her. So, you know, details as far as where they live, for instance. You know, the Black Hair Mag guy, she knows his children very well. That's the part that scares me, because you're conducting a crime. This is a crime. You're taking advantage of women who can't help themselves, and you basically are getting your children involved and making it seem like it's okay. And the children actually participated in some of the crimes of their father with the Black Hair magazine. You know, it's very surprising that they still haven't went to knock on the door, because from what I understand, this young lady that was on last week has moved through to file charges, because she's broken on the inside of what has happened to her, what has been allowed to happen to her at the hands of law enforcement when they were supposed to protect her. And that did not happen. So it's kind of strange that this young lady is coming forward now, because from what I researched, this Black Hair magazine has been defunct for some time now. So she's had enough time to come forward, even though on these type of crimes, there are no statute of limitations. So guys, listen, if a young lady approaches you, don't even attempt to do it, because you don't know if she's a broken female already. And now you may be adding more flame to the fire, because you may be falsely accused of something. Okay. Because you're dealing with a broken person at this point. So toxic relationships come into play with these type of situations that these women go through, you know? So guys, you got to be careful out there, you know, and women, you also have to watch yourself, because anything can happen and anybody can be falsely accused of anything. So I just pray that all is well with all my listeners out there. I mean that from my heart. You know, a strange situation came across my desk. This young lady works in an exotic dancing club in Miami. And she wanted to actually come on the show to discuss the drugs in the club. This young lady actually works in Miami for King of Diamonds. I can tell you that much. And she exposed to me that they get a lot of out-of-towners that come in, and they're actually looking for them to sell drugs. So, you know, I'm like, okay, what kind of drugs? You know, she's like, not just your average pill-popping drugs. They're looking for them to sell half the keys and keys of cocaine. You know, and these are strangers. You know, the last guy she ran across, he was from Cuba. And she's like, he didn't appear to be that type of guy, but he seemed like he liked me. And we went out to dinner. And the next thing I know, he's bringing drugs to the club, wanting me to solicit them for him. And I couldn't understand, why would a guy walk into a go-go club and say, hey, excuse me, miss, I gotta unload my drugs. Can you help me? You know, I can't even fathom what's going on. This is what is the end result to being an exotic dancer. Now you have to sell drugs to stay in the game. And fortunately for her, and she's a very old exotic dancer. So basically she's like, I don't want to be involved. I'm too old to go to jail. Usually that's what happens. The older crowd is too, they feel like they're too old to go to jail. Like, why am I going to jail at 55 years old? I mean, a lot of people say that to themselves, you know, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes people get caught up with the wrong circle of friends, and you got to maintain your circle of friends to a bare minimum today, because sometimes that circle of friends will be out to destroy you. You know, we're also happy to have good friends, good company, good parties, good food, good drinks. And you don't even know that you're sleeping with your enemy. You know, you're drinking with your enemy. You're having fun with your enemy. And you lose focus of what you're supposed to be doing. You know, not making friends, not telling them your whole life story, not telling them about the good old days. Because later on, they'll turn around and use your good old days against you. And then you'll be very sorry that you opened up and shared your situations with this person. You know, and it's very scary, because, you know, people talk a lot today. You know, people want to have conversations. They want to tell you their whole life story. And then, you know, the writer who's telling the story is basically giving away too much info. People are getting caught nowadays. They just robbery. They go to a friend's house and say, I just robbed the bodega on the corner. And guess what? The lady was so scared she peed in her pants. So, you know, these small details are going to come back to haunt you because a lot of things don't get released to the media. Okay? So what you say will be used against you in the court of law. And it won't be used against you from the prosecutor or the district attorney. It'll be used against you by that very person that you said, hey, friend, come on over today. But you talk a little too much. Sometimes you gotta know how to lock it and throw the key away. Because some people just keep that trap unlocked and you keep letting things fly out. And before you know it, you have a very bad situation on your hands. You know, when you were younger, didn't you tell your kids, listen, be quiet, don't say that, or don't repeat what you say? You know, because kids have a tendency of repeating things. That's another thing, you know, I wanted to bring to somebody's attention out there today is be careful what you say around the little ones, because the little guys, they're going to remember and they're going to use it against you, you know? So you got to really think about what you say. Like this guy, he had to tell, you know, his wife that her breath smelled bad because the baby was in the shopping cart saying, mommy has bad breath. Mommy has bad breath. And laughing. And, you know, she had her sippy cup and she's laughing and she's drooling. And the mother is just laughing along with her. So dad must have said to her, mommy has one-liner, made a whole baby song and sang all the way in the supermarket with mommy has bad breath. And literally had everybody in the supermarket laughing, you know, and the mother was laughing too. And I had to like say to myself, how much truth is it behind this little singing story this little girl has? Because, you know, the mother's enjoying it. So there has to be some truth. Because if it wasn't true, usually people are like, oh, don't say that. But obviously there was some truth behind it. Guys, I tell you, you know, back to toxic relationships. Toxic relationships comes in all forms today. Big, small, little, round, square, triangle. Just as you think you have that perfect person, it takes for that one incident to happen. And then you can find yourself in a very bad place. I like to say that to a lot of people all the time, because a lot of people have a tendency to forget that these minute things can land you in a very bad place. You know, I had to tell my husband, even we were on the plane and he said the guy smelled like cottage cheese. And I'm saying, hold it. You don't want to say that too loud, because if this guy feels like he's intimidated, you could lose your security clearance by saying the wrong thing nowadays. So I had to halt him and say, you don't want to get banned. You know, so he bit his tongue all the way on the flight. And, you know, endured the smell throughout the whole trip. But you got to be mindful, because people are always listening, you know, and you just don't know who may take things the wrong way in the wrong content. And then they're calling the police because they feel like their life is threatened. Oh, you threatened me. I'm scared now. So that has a lot to do with a lot of bad situations today. So, guys, I tell you, just try to stay out of the way of these bad situations. You know, myself, I don't know. I seem to have nothing but good situations lately. I don't have anything bad going on, thank goodness. I was actually waiting for the caller to call in so we can get his side of the story concerning his son, his toxic child's mother. Caller is on, guys. Hey, caller, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was just talking a little bit about your current situation. I wanted to ask you a few questions just so I could clear the air a little bit. Your son actually lives with your ex, which is his mother.
Right.
So, can you tell me something that happened over the weekend with your son and, some guests that came to visit? The shootout that happened.
Right. Well, the situation was, my son, he's 22. He still lives with his mom. He actually works from home, and he smokes a little weed or whatever. And he called this guy, his little buddy, to come over and bring him some. And the buddy came over, and when the buddy came over, his mom's boyfriend was there. And what happened was, he seemed to be a real jealous guy. And so when my son to bring the weed, the boyfriend actually got into it with the guy that came by the house, because he was assuming that the guy was coming by there to see my son's mom and was trying to be slick about it. And so him and the guy that came by, my son's friend, they got into it. And my son's friend, he's a little street guy, he's a little hood. And I guess he was packing, and the mom's boyfriend was, I guess he was packing, and they got into a heated argument. And guns were drawn, and they ended up into a shootout right at that moment. Yeah.
And did you go there to like defend your son?
No, actually, when he told me about it, it had already transpired. Police were called, and he called me and he told me what happened. And at that point, it was really nothing for me to really kind of check into. Like I said, my son, he's grown, but the only thing I suggested that he do, because I felt like that situation was so toxic, was to come and move in with me, because at that time I was trying to tell him that even though the boyfriend left the house at that time, it's been a toxic situation between him and his mother. They were doing a lot of back and forth over the years. They've been together for some years, and doing a lot of back and forth, break up, get back together, break up, get back together. So I was telling my son, I was like, well, you might want to come move back in with me, because I don't know if dude might want to look at the situation. If everything transpired because of the fact that he was thinking that the guy that came to see you came to see your mom. So I figured that he might have been thinking that the guy was using him as an excuse to come see his mom. And basically it would have looked like to the mom's boyfriend like you were a part of the plot. So that was going to cause an issue between him and the mom's boyfriend. So
So do you
I
think the
just
mom's
suggested that my
boyfriend
son
would do
come move in with
something?
me.
You think the mom's boyfriend would do something to try to hurt your son?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to say no. I want to say no because, like I said, it's been a lot of back and forth. They've had some issues in the past, and he and I, we've talked before, and he's never made any advances towards trying to do anything with my son, even though he's been, there's been arguments that my son got involved with, and he's never laid a hand on him or anything like that. But that was situation was like way too new for me. Like that was, it's like it was way too new for me, because he never seemed like he was the type that would actually went that far. He seemed like he was a wolf, but for him to his son's mom, and then they got into a shootout. I don't know whether he was defending his pride because of the argument that he got in with the dude, because even like I said, the dude came there to see my son to bring him some weed. So I don't know really the words that were said that, you know, between the two of them that made them get into it that deep to where they would start shooting at each other. But for me to think that he would actually do something to my son, for him to go that far, I'm just suggesting to my son that maybe you might want to leave from there just in case. But actually, this happened over the weekend. It's Tuesday, and the dude is back there. And he hasn't had any words with my son. And my son, his worry is he don't want to leave his mom.
Do you find that kind of odd for the boyfriend to just come back after a shootout?
I have no idea what's going on. Like, for it to be a shootout, you'd think that being that the cops were called, you'd think that he'd be wanted, you know? So, I mean, I really don't know what the situation is. I talked to my son yesterday, talked to him this morning, but he hasn't said anything about anything else transpiring. Because when I called him and I talked to him yesterday, I was asking him, like, yo, what are you going to do? Like, you need to come on and move back in. And he was like, I don't want nothing to happen to my mom. And I'm like, I don't want nothing to happen to you.
Well, what was your relationship like with her?
Oh man, that's really crazy. That was a different time for me. I met her when I was 19. I met her when I was 19, and that was a whole. It was a different time for both of us. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know.
It was more like young love, say? Like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I was a whole nothing. I loved her, but you know, at 19 years old, I mean, I was really in a place where I was really trying to find myself. You know, searching for myself. I mean, it took a while for me to get there, but you know, she was very innocent, sweet girl, and I tell this story to my girlfriend right now. Like, she really kind of grew into something that I didn't even recognize as a person, because the person that I knew when I was with her, you know, I don't see. I mean, that it's like that person is long gone, because I feel like I did a lot of damage to her. I did a lot of damage to her, and I put her through a lot. You know, we were together for like 5 years. And we broke up. We were together for like 3 years. Like 3 years. 2 years before she got pregnant. The pregnancy, and we split up when my son turned 2. So it was a real trying time. You know, I was a different person then. And I felt like I did a lot to break her down.
So when you say you did a lot to her, like, what did you do? Were you cheating? Were you, you know, the Playboy of the Year?
Yeah, well, cheating was definitely an issue. Cheating was definitely an issue. You know, there were quite a few women.
Was there ever a time that you had like some strong regrets about what you did, and you know, how did you feel like saying to yourself, I'm the cause of her being who she is today?
There were a lot of regrets. I wanted to marry her. I really wanted to marry the person that she was. And I was just so stupid and young at that time. I was doing so much to to her home, I kind of felt like, I used to even tell myself that if she ever caught me, like red-handed, doing something like flat out, and decided to stick with me, because of that, to me, would have proved to me how much she loved me, I would have married her at that time. But by the time she really found that, like it was always like phone numbers and phone calls, text messages and stuff like that. But by the time she really busted me, she was already gone. She was moving out. Like she was one of those situations like how women do, you know, they stick around until they make their move. Like she was in there. We were living together, and I came home one day and she had a U-Haul backed up to the house, and she already had her own place and everything. At that point, she was already gone, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know she knew what she knew.
After all these years, have you ever apologized?
Absolutely. I've apologized. Yeah, and she and I have a decent relationship, you know, as far as even throughout the course of the years of co-parenting, you know, we've always had a good relationship, you know, we became friends, you know. I got married maybe about 3 years after we split up. Maybe 2 years after we split up. Matter of fact, I married the girl that I was cheating on her with. Yeah.
And how did she feel about that?
That was so crazy because I was still in love with her when she left me. You know, me and the girl that I was cheating with, we moved in together. And we were still in love with each other. We were still back and forth with each other. I would come by to see my son. We would sleep together. We did a lot of pulling to leave the girl that I was living with. I wanted to get back with her. She was just in a place where she was, I guess, attached to the point where she wasn't ready to mentally and emotionally let me go. But in the back of her head, she didn't want to deal with the stuff that I had put her through anymore. So when I tried to get back with her, she wasn't having it. She didn't want that. She didn't want to. It's like she would be with me, but didn't want to be with me. So
I ended up marrying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that some of the toxic stuff that has happened in that relationship, do you think maybe it kind of rubbed off on your son a little bit? Like being, you know, saying, I got to stay here. I got to protect my mom.
It's kind of hard to say because my son, he's her only child. You know, I have four kids and he's the only child from her. And he's always been attached to her by the hip. So, you know, they've always had a real close bond, real close relationship. So, you know, and he, like I said, he hasn't branched off on his own yet. So he's still home with his mom. So with anybody that she's dealt with, he's always been her protector. You know, she's had issues with other guys as well. I've never heard of an incident where anybody got physical with her or him, but it's been a lot of arguments because she's a real, I don't know. I think, you know, the relationship, the situation, she was like zero tolerance. So she would get with these dudes and she wouldn't put up with this. She wouldn't put up with none of this stuff. And it would probably put them in a position where they'd be arguing and doing a lot of that. You know, he would be there for her, you know what I'm saying? But I've never known of any incidents where anybody's gotten physical with him or her and put their hands on him or her.
Did you ever think about some of the things that you used to do and who you used to be? Do you think in a relationship that you are in now, do you think you could ever resort back to being that same person?
I don't want to. No, I don't. I pray every day to not be that person. You know, when I didn't fall in love with my wife until after I married her. I didn't even want to get married to her. She was in a place, she was younger. She's like 6 years younger than me. And at the time she had friends that were in the military and getting out of college and stuff, and they were getting married. And she brought the conversation to the table. She wanted to get married. I didn't want to get married. I was still kind of in love with my ex. And what actually happened was I actually had a conversation with her, like, okay, well, let's just figure this thing out for like another year, and if everything goes well, then we can revisit this conversation about marriage. And she was cool with it. A couple of months later, 3-4 months later, she ends up getting pregnant. So at that point, you know, I was kind of down and out because I felt like I abandoned, it was my fault, and I abandoned my oldest son because of the things that I had done. And I didn't want to do the same thing. I didn't want to be the same person at that time, you know, with the child coming in. So I decided to go ahead and marry her because she got pregnant. And after that, I think I was about, 27. And still hadn't matured yet. Same old story. Started doing the same things all over again. Same story with the ex-wife.
You know how they say a leopard never changes his spots? Do you think you've changed your spots?
Absolutely. I mean, it took losing my wife. And, you know, she had two kids from me. And I was still out in the streets, you know, getting into trouble and everything. And had a couple of incidents where she was there for me. I mean, like, she really held me down. And and that's when I decided to want to be whole. But at that time, I had done chipped off so much of her till I had started losing her, the wife. Because she was catching me with situations from the ex, from the first situation that I had, from the older son's mom. Phone calls, text messages, she's checking the... At this time, I was so crazy, stupid, not thinking, you know what I mean? The cell phone bills coming to the house is showing... where she would call me and I would talk to the baby mom, and I'm telling her I'm at work. I don't have time to talk. And then here I am carrying on a 45-minute conversation with the ex-baby mama. And, you know, that started chipping away at her and kind of actually put me back in the same predicament. You know, she did the exact same thing. She plotted her escape, had everything set up, and she left. And she had herself situated to go. So,
Well, Claire, I have a lot of people that have been sending me text messages while you've been on. And I just want to ask you, do you think you would be able to come back on the show and answer some questions that these people want answers to?
Absolutely, man. I mean, why not? I mean, I'm a living testimony of I made my mistakes. And like I said, you said a leopard doesn't change its spots. And I believe they can when it comes to a human being, because when you find God, it changes things. It changes things. And that's where I was leading when I was saying earlier on that I had to lose a lot, you know, and I learned that a lot of times that you have to hit rock bottom before you really start seeing the light, you know. When you ain't got no place else to go, at when you're at the bottom, I mean, you got to look for that source of light. And when you find that source of light, that's your only source of coming back to the surface. And that's my testimony, man. I made mistakes. I'm human. I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, not only just with relationships. I mean, I was in the streets. I was doing a lot of different things in my life, and I made a lot of different mistakes. I paid the cost to have to learn from them. So,
Paul, I like to thank you for coming on today, and we look forward to having you back on the show, because I got over 200 text messages while you've been on, and I really want to get down to some of these questions. These people are like, you know, hitting me up and saying, we want to know. So I'd like to thank you for coming on today, and we look forward to having you back on the show again.
All right, anytime.
Okay, caller, thank you, and have a great evening.
All right, you as well.
Guys, let's take a commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because G Buys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need, with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight, your immune system. Helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, welcome back. We have to take a little break on that one. That was a very, very, very emotional conversation. And I really like when guys come on the show and they can show their true emotions. That's why I like to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And I like my listeners to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, because you guys can feel where the person is coming from. And you got a bad guy that turned into a good guy. You know, he's like a cape crusader. You know, I mean, you don't find too many guys today that is willing to be real with themselves, willing to say, this is who I was, but this is who I am now. And we've had quite a few gentlemen come on the show. I'm trying to remember the other gentleman's name. It'll come to me. But he came on, he talked about his life as a foster child that was adopted, and very emotional testimony he gave about what he endured, thinking that he was going to be loved as this little kid that was just looking for love. You know, his mom never loved him, so he thought the foster care system would keep him safe, get him in a good home, show him love. And he was mistaken, you know. And now you have this young man, now grown man, who has went through trials and tribulations of abuse, that can say, that is who I was, and this is me now. You know, like this caller, he extends his opinion of who he was based on some of the things he did and some of the pain he caused in his prior relationships. And he admitted to actually, you know, causing toxic situations that now has turned these women into hyenas. They're only eating bones. They're not even eating the meat. They want the bones, because they're like, this is my story. You know, and it's amazing that he has a son that looks up to him, because a lot of young men today have a lack of respect for their fathers when it comes down to their mothers. You know, hands down, the kid is like, that's my mom, I'm her protector, I'm the man of the house. You know, they go in with the impression of, I'm the man of the house. And if there's no forceful lead, then that's the role that they take on. You know, like you said, the mom's boyfriend just had a shootout and he's back today. You know, he's like, I'm back home. And if they come back, I'll shoot out again. You know, it's like living in the Wild Wild West. Is this the life for his son? No, but all he can do is advise him because his son is grown and there's nothing more that he can do except extend him a place to stay, take care of him and make sure he's safe. Like a father would do. Not a dad, a father. You know, as they say, anybody can be a dad. It takes a real man to be a father. So he's doing his very best that he can do. And the emotional side of him is, you know, I know what I did. And I like people like that because they can fess up and be that person and say, I did that, but guess what? I'm not going to do it again. Because believe it or not, people, everybody has a dark side to them. And everybody has a past. People seem to forget, or sometimes they intentionally forget, you know, some of the things they did. It might have been, you know, wet in the bed. It might have been, you know, who knows, stealing change out of the change jar in the house. Everybody has done something mischievous in their life, just being a kid, grown part of growth. And if you don't have these experiences through the walks of life, you can never say you experienced anything to grow from. So forever be stuck in a spot where you have never learned a valuable lesson of the walks of life, because you're going to go through things. Things are going to happen. Your life is never going to be a bed of roses. You're always going to experience some type of interference. It's called welcome to the world. It's still revolving, it's still turning, and it's not going to stop because you feel like you don't want to move. It's moving whether you want to move or not. The clock is still rolling. Guys, I'd like to thank you all for coming on today. I have over 13 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast. Shout out to LA Talk Radio. I love you guys. I love the producers there. Great show. My 1 year anniversary is almost here, guys. It actually was the ending of April, but I'm hanging in there because we're going to do this party and it's going to be big. Guys, I'd like to thank you all for coming on. See you next week, Tuesday. Same bad time, same bad place. Tommy Torres signing off. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.